I'd like to know whether are you interested in Dhamma? You mean reality right now, or what?
I think I could, in a very short way, sum up what this has been for me. Before I first met you, I had written down one quotation. Everyone should know for himself what degree of kusala he wants to develop and to what extent. And that was the gist of what I wanted to say before I met you. But I've added two extra notes from what you said. The first is not enough, which I'll always remember. And then yesterday you said, be confident on understanding.
Right.
So I feel, after meeting you, that I feel more confident about understanding the present reality.
Yeah.
And I still appreciate the importance of conventional sila, but now there's more confidence about understanding, so thank you.
Because even one word shouldn't be overlooked, like a Dhamma. Everyone talk about Dhamma. Or one might think that it's the teaching of the Buddha, but what about? So sila must be reality too. Everything is reality. So when there is the understanding of Dhamma, it means that there is the understanding of reality, which is not self. This is the most important. Because even one knows what Dhamma is, but one can take it for I. When there is not enough understanding, or when it's not clear enough about Dhamma. So just one word can bring the understanding up to the degree of an arahata. Just Dhamma. Because Dhamma is real. Whenever it arises, it passed away. Like now, many Dhammas have gone without understanding. So the important thing is to develop understanding of whatever appears. Otherwise we talk about sila, but where is it? Where is sila? When we talk about kusala, where is it and what is it? But by understanding Dhamma, one can understand everything according to its characteristic. For example, the abstention at that moment is not self. So what is it? It must be wholesome reality, but there are many wholesome realities. So what are they? They are the three virati cetasikas. See, something like that can help one to have less and less clinging to the idea of self. And when there is more understanding, reality appears as it is. For example, citta is not cetasika. And we learn to understand better and better about the difference between the two. Otherwise, we think there are nama. But what is citta and what are the cetasikas? Otherwise, citta must be cetasikas and cetasika must be citta. But actually, citta can never be cetasika at all because it is different from cetasika. So it brings more and more understanding about any word which come across with consideration and understanding.
Can we understand all realities?
Depending on whether there is a considering about it or not. For example, Dhamma. It depends what is Dhamma. When one is asked, it depends on one's understanding. Some might say that it's the teaching of the Buddha, but what about? And one will say, about kusala and akusala. See? But what is it? It comes to this moment that can be understood directly. But it cannot be as soon as we think or as quick as we think because the amount of avicca so great that even whatever appears, no understanding of its characteristic as just a reality. Like sound, it's gone without understanding everything. So the development of understanding is that which beginning to understand the meaning of the word, which represents the reality.
The words are so attractive and we can get caught up on terminology. And
so it cannot be one's own thinking about it, because without right understanding, we think wrongly. For example, we now might think that visible object is permanent.
Sorry?
We might think that visible object now is permanent. Who knows it's not permanent? See, by studying, by considering, one can see that it cannot be permanent at all. And it's not the thinking at all.
Could we understand without the Buddha's teaching that...
Impossible. Only Buddha himself and the Patek Buddha can understand by himself. We are savaka, disciples or listeners. Would you like to be enlightened by yourself? To understand reality right now by yourself? I have no such wish at all. To understand is enough. Otherwise, it might be a long, long time ahead. Uncountable life to become Buddha. Unthinkable how long it is to really understand each reality as it is, with conditions too.
Courage.
Yeah, so I think that to be a good person, to abstain from ill deeds and develop kusala only is not enough at all. Because it's not permanent, and the conditions for unwholesomeness much more than wholesomeness in a day. And the Dhamma is very interesting, even the word, see. And the reality is also interesting to start to understand. So interest, how come to be this and that? Because that which appears just arises to appear and pass away.
Yesterday you helped me understand wise attention. What are you interested in?
Because there must be wise attention. But no one can understand that reality whenever it arises, because everything passes away so quickly. But it's there. Wise or unwise, see?
At first, just attention, whether it's wise or unwise, to begin to pariyati.
Dhamma, all adhammas.
Sorry, all...
are dhammas, even attentions are dhamma, different from other cetasika.
You had a question the other day, or a comment about reading the moods of others. I don't know if you want to pick up on that a bit.
I was asking Nina about intimation, physical intimation. I thought that any way that the citta expressed through facial expression or body language would be physical intimation, but I learned that it's only if the person is intending that it would be intimation. But I find, for example, when I'm teaching my students, I'm sensitive to
expression.
Their expression, and I feel if they're having some frustration, I can be sensitive to that and perhaps be a better teacher in that sense.
Very quick translator.
Very quick translator, yeah. Of translating the facial expression and thinking.
Mm-hmm. I think the point was also that at this moment we can't even know our own cheetahs most of the time, let alone another's, but yet we do have these clues all the time and come to conclusions all the time about how others are feeling or what kind of cheetahs they have.
Before that, what's it? See, it interprets instantly.
Visible object or sound and touch.
Or people or things.
When I was walking with Sukhin, we were walking in a busy shopping mall in Bangkok, and this is something I'm quite often aware of wherever I am, that if a woman is walking by and I glance at her, And I think it's just the quickest of subconscious glances. And the woman the other day, I saw her quickly adjust her blouse. And I'll be sensitive to that. And I want to avoid making people uncomfortable. But Suking, what was your...
Well, I was saying that what if you were just simply staring into space and the other person just got, for no reason, this thing. But then you go on to think that what are you doing? Your response, your thoughts, your attitudes are sila, a form of sila, which I thought was just something you're telling yourself.
Are you a writer?
Yes.
And Chitta writes all the time.
Is that just vasana we were saying yesterday, or is that just a kilesa?
It's just a reality. Beginning with a reality. Otherwise, we think over it without understanding the true nature of it at all. Just estimate or speculate all the time. But when there is the understanding, there is a Dhamma, it can develop understanding of reality as not self or anything.
I appreciate that I'm going to now think about the attachment to the loba, about what I take for sila, and I will be thinking more about that, but I think I'll still continue to value this, balancing the harm that could come from transgression and the harm that could come from attachment to sila. I feel safe with the attachment to sila.
So by your words, it indicates that you are interested in sila, not in Dhamma.
Not enough.
Not in Dhamma. Because you think of sila, but do not understand that at that moment it's Dhamma.
Not enough.
Okay. Each particular one should be understood. Otherwise, you just think about sila and claim sila, not knowing the characteristic of reality right then.
Not actually understanding sila, even.
As Dhamma.
And can we also say that understanding Dhammas, developing that understanding, is a condition for better sila?
And it's sila, the higher sila. Which one you prefer, the common one or the higher one?
But isn't there the idea on Phil's part that the best way to have good sila is to just think about sila?
Not understanding that. Not understanding sila. Just cling to sila.
Right. Whereas a much better condition for good sila is to develop understanding of Dhammas.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
There are many levels of sila, and the common sila cannot eradicate the idea of self at all. But the higher one, at moment of understanding reality as it is the Adi-sila too.
There is always sila with salacitta, I think.
Whenever there is sila, it is kusala. Can there be any ill deed without rupa?
Can there be any ill deed without rupa?
Or ill speech, deeds and speech without rupa?
The rupa, the response to the rupa is what conditions it.
So another meaning of sila is the usual manners in daily life. So there can be akusala sila, kusala sila, and abhyagata sila, according to the three groups of citta. Kusala dhamma, akusala dhamma, and abhyagata dhamma.
What is the third one, please?
Abhyagata dhamma, that which is not kusala or akusala.
Such as vipaka.
They are here, very interesting to understand.
Rupas are abhyagata dhamma too. Yeah.
Any dhammas that are not kusala or akusala are abhyagata. Abhyagata.
In this threefold classification.
When you say akusala sila,
The manners of deeds and speech, actions, conditioned by akusala citta.
I guess I'm not understanding sila in that context. Can you explain more about what you mean there?
What about deeds and speech? Is it always kusala?
No.
Always akusala?
No.
Apayagata?
No.
Depending on jittas.
Okay.
The arahanta speaks kusla or akusla?
Neither.
Mm-hmm. Apayakata. Deeds and speech from apayakata citta.
Mm-hmm. When we say sila generally, though, we're referring to kusala sila.
Right.
Yes. But other actions and deeds that are not what we conventionally refer to kusala sila are in fact akusala sila.
That's why when we come across the term akusala sila, apayakata sila, we can understand what's meant.
Mm-hmm. You have referred a lot of times when we've been here these past few days to understanding every word.
Yes, like Dhamma. And it's the beginning of understanding reality too. Because now we don't have to name or call it rupa, which is seen. But by understanding the characteristic which is seen, it's different from that which experiences it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way to study that which is called rupa or nama. But actually we don't need to call them at all when there is understanding of them.
Mm. So when you're talking about understanding every word, you're essentially saying understanding every reality.
Yeah, because the word represents reality. Otherwise it's useless.
Right.
Like Dhamma has no meaning at all if it doesn't represent the reality.
Okay, I understand the way in which you've used it, I think.
Or dana, or sila, or samadhi, or panya, mm-hmm. It's not only word. Each one has its own characteristic.
I don't know if this is just more terminology. I found this in the book, The Perfection of Morality. Now comes the method of practicing the perfection of virtue. Since the great man desires to adorn beings with the adornment of the virtue of the omniscient, at the beginning he must purify his own virtue. Herein virtue is purified in four modes. One, by the purification of one's inclinations, ajasaya visuddhi, by the undertaking of precepts, samadana, by non-transgression, avitakamana, by making amends for transgressions, patipakatikarana. Can you tell me some just words?
All adamas. No matter how much you know about all these words, do you really understand the nature of it, of all dhammas? By understanding dhamma one by one, it will lead you to understand what it says.
Like you said yesterday, if I want to understand vipaka, if I don't understand kama as well, they don't come one by one. The understanding comes together.
For example now, if there's the understanding of seeing, do you have to name it vipaka? And when there's the understanding of thinking, do you have to name that it's not vipaka? Because they're different. So if the words in the book will lead to more understanding of reality, that's right. But when it does not, because one just thinks that one understands already about the term Dhamma, but not understanding any Dhamma now is useless. What about next life? One will forget all about what one has read. Like we are not sure whether we spoke Pali or Makati instead of English and Thai, but now no understanding at all.
Understanding of realities will carry to the next life.
Right, no matter in what language.
I'd like to just come back to that quote in your black book that's on the cover page, which obviously has significance for you and which I presume is a, you can read it, a quote of Kun Su Chin's, because I'd like you to just read it out because you interpret it in a certain way to ask her what she means by it.
I think we talked about it a few times already, or at least on the first day. Everyone should know for himself what degree of kusala he wants to develop and to what extent. And I think I mentioned the other day, I felt that my friends at DSG were pushing me towards a degree of kusala that I felt was beyond my understanding, and that by aspiring to that degree of understanding, I would be perhaps going too far or depriving myself of appreciation of a more simple degree of kusala, or a more suitable degree of kusala. But as I said, not enough is a message that, you know, I'm going to appreciate.
So my question from that is, when you said or say everyone should know for themselves what degree of kusala they want, what do you mean by that?
Many people don't want to even listening or hearing Abhidhamma or Dhamma at all. For them, Dhamma is enough. To help parents is enough. Something like that. Enough for them in their thought.
So why not enough for me?
It depends on the individual, whether the understanding at this level is enough or not for you.
But enough in what sense?
It depends. If one doesn't know about Dhamma, that's enough for them.
It's enough for them, but
because they don't
know.
They don't know, and they don't want to know, too.
But in your saying that they should know that what is enough for them, it sounds like actually they don't. They're just doing according to their accumulations. But do they know that this much is enough for me?
I think that they realize how far for them to go. Many people just want to study, to have only intellectual understanding. Does it mean that they prefer only that stage? They're satisfied with that
yes.
stage?
I mean, they think, but then...
So, does it mean
they
that they should or they know? Otherwise, one would have the answer, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know all the time.
But I think that Phil's comment from that and why he's highlighted this passage is because he might say, well, for me, really what I'm just concerned is doing good deeds, avoiding harm, not getting into trouble, and maybe that's enough for me, so I don't really need Dharma friends to encourage or push me into understanding Paramattha Dhammas, because actually I'm quite satisfied if I can just avoid major transgressions of sila and I can do good deeds, that is enough.
I interpreted that way, but I also did have faith that within that kind of approach, gradually understanding could develop. So I was never rejecting or abandoning understanding of Dhammas, but I felt that within that kind of approach, understanding could develop more gradually without putting a lot of attachment on the idea of understanding reality. That's the way I felt.
So it's a matter of should or should not, but it doesn't mean that one should or one shouldn't, but it's one's nature about knowing oneself, whether what one like to be, just at that level.
No, but Phil is also expressing the idea that what he prefers is not just because it's within his reach. He believes that it will lead him to understanding Dhammas or make him interested in understanding Dhammas.
Create better conditions.
What he is doing is within his own limits. He knows what his strengths and weaknesses are. So by concentrating on sila as his inclinations are, that will one day lead him to understand Dhamma.
And that the attachment, the inevitable attachment, we all must have attachment to Dhamma because it's so beautiful and deep, that the attachment would go to my behavior, and then perhaps with less attachment, understanding could gradually develop. Now that was my thinking about the general picture of Phil's understanding's development. But, you know.
But there are realities. Thinking, no matter in what way, is also reality. Please read it again. Just one sentence.
One sentence.
Yeah.
everyone should know for himself what degree of kusala he wants to develop and to what extent.
Everyone knows or no one knows?
Everyone should know.
Or just know without should.
Mm-hmm. Everyone knows for himself.
Or sometimes one doesn't know at all.
It's interesting because many times I've said to Nina on the list, I've objected to her use of should many times. And I think that could be a translation.
Even the translation from Pali, according to grammar, I think, the way they use, that is translated the should too.
Or may know.
Yeah.
Or
something like that. I always prefer everyone may know.
If we think of the meaning, we do not mind much about the word. Should or may.
But the word should can also be interpreted as what must be done, means that, like you said, this is not enough, so should develop more. Isn't it? So
but I'm not good in language at all.
I don't see a problem with should.
So I just take the meaning out of whatever I heard. I don't mind about whether it should be this or that correctly, or it depends on the meaning of it. So the question is whether does one know or doesn't one know about one's own satisfaction or what one would like to be.
I think part of the problem with should is that for English speakers it's often taken as a directive. You must do. It is good for you to do.
And what about akusla and kusla? Shall we use the word should or shouldn't? Or
I think it's okay, it's fair. Akusla should not be encouraged.
Kusla is it an order, or one should do instantly, or what? Yeah. Or just the way it is?
Just the way it is.
Yeah.
Right. I think the quote means everyone should know for themselves what degree of kusla they understand.
He wants about. To develop.
Yeah, but that means the degree of kusala that it is that he is interested in.
It's like suggestion.
Yeah. So you should know whether...
Not an order.
The level at which you understand or are interested in Dhamma is at the level of sila or samatha or vipassana.
Well, we could say it's helpful to know.
Useful is a good useful Dhamma
useful
word.
May I make a comment? Might be helpful, and it relates to Anne and I discussing last night about right understanding. And as we talked, we realized, as you were saying yesterday, how much wanting to know there is, how much attachment to understanding. But also what became clear was that there was aversion as well to not knowing, to not understanding. So the combination of aversion, the unpleasantness of confusion and frustration, interspersed with attachment, was such an indication of much akusala that was such a great obstacle to the understanding that I thought was so important. Mm. And in relation to this, at that time it became clear that the level of kusala that one may think one needs is actually different to the truth of how much one needs, because there is so much akusala. Mm. Once there is investigation and study, there's so much getting in the way.
So what you're saying is that in this quote, can you show me your quote? Everyone should know for himself what degree of kusala he wants to develop and to what extent. You could also add that everyone should know how much akusala he has, right?
Yes, and to perhaps be truthful that we cannot know how much kusala is needed, is necessary.
No, yes. I mean, if you don't know your kusala,
yes,
then you don't know.
That's right. Yes.
I think the key word was what you said, truthfulness. Yes. To know truthfulness.
Can we say that one should know or can know one's ability to understand the teachings?
Can know.
Yes. or should or can, because one might think that one can attain Nibbana tomorrow or something like that, which is impossible.
That's impossible. But what is necessary?
But not tomorrow.
And not tomorrow.
Or the next.
Or next month. Or even next time.
But because dharmas are conditioned, it's not a matter of deciding, oh, okay, this is enough for me, just develop sila, or because these are conditioned dharmas.
That's just a moment of thinking.